To learn my teachings, I must first teach you how to learn.
Hey, Steve here. Welcome back to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. And today's topic is coaching. It plays such an important role, whether you're a classroom teacher or whether you're a building administrator. If you are brand new or new to the system or new to that specific school, it's important to be coached. If nothing else, someone to help you help yourself. Someone to help you come up with the answers to questions. Not to answer your questions, but to help you help yourself. I think you'll enjoy today's show, and I challenge you in the end that if you're at a school and you need assistance, to reach out. Identify that person who could be your coach. And if you're a school that needs a program and you're listening to this and you don't have one, it's time to create one. So think about it and go ahead and start. Make that coaching program happen now. Hey, by the way, don't forget that we're also on Stitcher and iTunes, and I would so love it if you would leave us a rating. That's how you get found out there in the podcast land. You got to have people leaving ratings and so forth so that the podcast show moves up in the rankings. I'd love it if you'd do that. And by the way, don't forget, share us with your friends and colleagues and family members. Tell them about us. Share those links. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us week after week. And on with the show.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
All right, it's time for us to have a great discussion today around coaching. In every position, whatever it is, if you're new to it, and relatively new, you should have some sort of a coach. That person is going to be able to help you become the you that you need to be in your new position. We're going to get into some looking specifically at what coaching is all about. But first, I want to mention this. At the opening of today's show, there's a little clip, and that's from a character named the Sphinx in one of my all-time favorite movies called Mystery Men. Now, I'm not too sure how many people saw this movie, but it was a cool movie. And I've watched it numerous times over and over again because I can't get enough of it. But that character, what's going on is that the Mystery Men are a group of superheroes, so-called superheroes. Matter of fact, kind of B-level superheroes. And matter of fact, some of them were not quite sure that they really have superpowers. But they're brought in to try and save the day because the real superhero can't. And they're up against a real supervillain. But they just can't get along. They argue with each other. They get mad at each other. They're not a team. They don't really know how to work together. And they just don't know how to do their jobs. In comes the Sphinx, who tries to teach them how to work together and coaches them in how to be a team. So let's talk about this concept of coaching for a minute. And what I want to start with is simply this. The number one reason for having a coaching program in your school, with your staff, with your principals, so in your system, is to support new staff as they transition to a new position. That makes sense, doesn't it? We all could use that help. Unfortunately, what ends up happening most of the time is that teachers, administrators, whether it's assistant principals or principals, are hired to do a job, and then, you know, basically it's good luck, have fun, hope you do well, see you in a few days. It's called sink or swim, you know, learning by doing, which is not so bad most of the time, but you really need some help sometimes. And if nothing else, just that little voice that might be able to assist you in figuring out where to start or thinking through a problem or something. And so if the number one reason for coaching and having a coaching program is to support new staff as they transition to a new position, then let's talk about what falls under that. For example, in supporting new staff, one of the reasons why you want to hook them up with a coach is so that they have access to someone who has experience, who's had failures and who's had successes. So if we're supporting new staff as they transition to a new position, then the first thing we want is we want to align them with someone who has experience in success and in failing. Now, they're not going to solve their problems for them, but they need to be able to be that coach for them. Under supporting new staff, a second category would be, you know, we want them to connect with the culture of the organization, and the coach can help them do that. You know what I mean, and we'll go into a little more detail in just a minute. The idea that there's way things are done in that school or in that system, that building. If no one tells you, then you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to find it out. The next category under supporting new staff would be the coach can't be Dr. Phil. You know, the idea. This is not, you know, lay down on the couch and tell me about your mother. But coach does help by creating a support network for the person in the new position. Next is the idea to help push or focus the new staff member on good practices. In our case, everything from classroom management practices to instructional practices to planning practices. And then finally, just simply to help them develop new skills. So we've got, if the reason for having a coaching program to create a coach to work with the new employee, the new staff member, the new leader, is to support the new staff member as they transition to a new position, then there are five reasons under that, five things that need to happen to make it work, five areas that they need to address to help the new staff member be successful. The first one is you want to attach them to a coach who's had experience, not just a year, needs to be somebody who's been around for a while, who's had success and had failure, and is willing to work with someone. The next area is that you've got to connect them with the culture of the organization. The coach will spend time doing this. And what I'm really talking about here is things like, how do we get things copied? Where do I part? How about at lunchtime? What do most teachers in my department do at lunchtime? Or how about principal? When do you eat? Do you eat at 8 a.m.? That's your lunch? Do you ever get a chance to have lunch? Or are you on duty all the time? What is it that you do? How are you supposed to dress? What are you supposed to wear on the first day? How do you work with the clerical staff? If you sponsor a club, who's the bookkeeper? How do I do this? Do I collect dues? I mean, there's any number of things. One of my favorite memories along this line has to do with I was a brand new staff member in a school, and I'll never forget Jim. Jim was a veteran teacher at this school. I was moving in, and he said, "Hey, I'm Jim, and I'm going to go get your books for you." And he went and got my books, brought them to me, and he said, he goes, "I estimated just a few over, looked at your roster," and he goes, "I got them for you. I figured that you got enough stuff to do right now." Oh my gosh. You know, the culture of the school, he went and took care of that for me. So that was one thing I could check off my list so I could really focus on the other needs that I had. The next area under supporting new staff is that the coach, the idea with the coach is that they're there to support them, but they're not Dr. Phil. They're not there to solve all their problems. They're not there to, to just figure out why they are like they are. No, they're there to kind of help them figure out that they probably already have the answers, but to just kind of walk through some of the issues, some of the problems, help them figure out what they need to start with. Have you done this yet? Asking them questions, you know, get a little Socrates going there. Figure out the answer by asking questions and helping them figure out what questions. Now, the thing is that the coach, though, can't be an evaluator. And it can't be contrived. It has to be a real situation. I'll talk more about this in just a few minutes. But, you know, most coaching situations fail because the person really doesn't want to have anything to do with it, just gets assigned it, and basically doesn't really want to be involved with this other person because they don't have time for it. Well, that's going to be a great help, isn't it? The next area is that the coach is going to help push the new staff member to focus on good practices. Oh my gosh, let's make sure that we're doing what we should be doing. But not only that, the coach will help point out things that are, these are good practice. You know, if we're talking about a teacher, here are great instructional practices to use. How about here's some classroom management ideas that I've used that are successful. Let's hear what your ideas are. You know, let's talk about this. Let's figure out, you know, what's your class going to be like the first day? What are you going to do for the first day? What do you need to get done between now and the first day? What can I help you with? Looking at the instructional practices, helping to show the teacher, the new staff member, that these are good practices and lay them out there. You know, working with vocabulary, but not memorizing vocabulary. Working with graphic organizers, you know, developing plans that involve activities. Figuring out how to differentiate in the classroom. Finding those instructional practices that are going to help you figure out where the kids are by using pretests, formative assessments, and then adjusting instruction based upon their performance on those. These are good practices, and a coach helps the teacher figure that out. If it's an administrator, it's a new staff member, you got to have a coach too. You got to have someone to talk to who's going to help you come up with those ideas about, what do you do the first time you meet with a new staff? And you don't wait till the first day of pre-planning to meet them. Oh, we got to do more than that. Oh, how about, should I meet the kids at some point besides just wandering around the hallways? Should I meet the families? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Well, the coach's point in this will not be to solve the problems, but to say, you tell me, what do you think you should do? Where should we start? Should we wait till the first day of pre-planning to see the teachers? A lot of times we have those answers. And that's what the coach does. The coach helps you see that you have the answers, or at least help you find that pathway to those answers. But it's not Dr. Phil. He or she's not going to solve your problem for you or find that one true correct answer. As we all know, in schools, there is no one true correct answer for anything. And it's definitely not the odd numbers that are answered in the back of the book. Finally, one of the other things that the coach is going to do is the coach is going to push the new staff member toward new skills. Work with them to develop new skills. So if they see that they need assistance in some areas, let's spend some time thinking about, how could you have done this better? Let's look at what we need to do. If it looks like you're going to need some help in figuring out timetables and creating schedules because you've got to get in classrooms and you've got to be here and you've got to be there and you've still got to work with the kids. Well, how do we do that? Well, let's talk about working and developing calendars, or how to make a schedule work for yourself. Well, how about a classroom teacher? Coaches can work with them on skills, all kinds of different types of skills, from instructional practices to simply trying to figure out how to make it work by, if you float in a high school, and if you don't know what I mean, that means you don't have an assigned room and you go to different classrooms during the class day and the kids meet you there. Well, that requires the skill of serious organization, knowing what to do when you get in the class, figuring out how to save time in taking roll, getting the kids situated, and getting into the content area. And then making sure that you end on time because you've got to pack it up and move on down the road. First 5 years of my career, I floated, didn't have a classroom. And what was amazing was I learned a lot of good practices from someone who, even though he wasn't a designated coach, he was my coach. He helped me figure these things out because I was struggling with that. I was struggling with, as I'm going through one building, I was in this one school where I'm going up, I'm going down. There's close to 2,000 kids in this school. Going all through the hallways, I've got a cart stuffed with everything. Hey, beep, beep, coming through. And then I ran into a teacher who I shared a room with, and it was his room, and he made that clear to me. I'll never forget that teacher. He taught me a lot of lessons. Now, not the unofficial coach, but this teacher that I went into his classroom, because he met with me and he said, I want to explain something to you. This is my classroom. And if you see notes written up on this chalkboard, we had chalk in those days. We did have electricity and there was dirt, but we had chalkboards. He said, you see this big board here? This is the front. He goes, all of this, if I write on it, do not erase it. And I said, excuse me, but that board is a big board at the very front of the room. Are you telling me that if you write across that whole board that I can't use it? He said, no, you can have that board at the side. See that board over there? And this board was a smaller board on the side of the room, but the chairs faced the other way. And I looked at him and I said, hey, okay, so if that's the case, when I come into your classroom and I see writing up there, not a problem. I won't touch that board. And I've got to use this one, so I'm going to have the kids move their seats that way. And when it's time for us to leave, I'm going to leave. And he said, well, you need to have them turn their seats back. And I said, no, you can do that when you come in. I had to figure out how to deal with this gentleman, and I use that term gentleman loosely, on my own. I wish I had had a coach to go to and say, can you help me work through this? I was brand new and not ready to deal with something like this. What's amazing is we worked out some compromises in the end because he didn't like the idea of me leaving his classroom his classroom seats facing the other way. So he said, oh, I think we can work something out. How about if we move it so that I'll tell you what, I'll give you a half. I'll draw a line down the middle of the board. For those of you who ever watched an old show called The Odd Couple, I felt like I was working with Felix. It's like, really, you're going to draw a line down the middle of the board and this is my side and that's your side? And he said, yes. I said, not a problem. He said, if I write over here, do not erase anything. This is my side of the board. I will write over here. And I said, the same goes over here. If I write on my side, then you don't erase mine. first day of class, I walk in, floating from another classroom, and he has written all over his side, and he has written all over my side, and there's a big note up there that says, do not erase. People who know me would know that that was the wrong thing to do, because what I did was I erased what was on my side of the board. I thought I understood that agreement very well. That afternoon, he saw me, and he said, you erased what was on this side of the board. And I said, exactly. So you didn't read my message? I said, you didn't keep up your end of the bargain. And he argued with me a little bit, and I said, I don't care. I'm floating into this classroom. You're going to let me use a chalkboard. And if you don't want it to be that side one, and you don't want me to leave the chairs facing that way, then it's going to be this one. And you can't write on this side of the board. We kind of worked out a peace treaty here where it was basically fine. He tried it one more time, and I erased his stuff, and then I think he got the message, and we just kind of worked it out. It's kind of like the 38th parallel there in the room for a while. A coach could give advice on how to deal with this. This man had been teaching, as he reminded me many times, for 18 years at that point. I hadn't. I could have used some advice. So if coaching is all about supporting new staff, and the coach needs to be somebody with experience who's had failures and successes, who can connect with the person to help them connect with the culture of the organization, is not Dr. Phil, but can help them be a support network, give them ideas, help them figure out if they have the answers already, just walk them through. The coach can help push them to focus on good practices and finally help them develop new skills. You know, in the case, I could have used somebody helping me figure out how to deal with my friend, the protector of his space. What typically happens, though, is that there are no coaches. Now, I've been talking about it as a teacher, as a principal and as an assistant principal. I never really had somebody ever be a coach for me there either. I was multiple years into being an assistant principal when finally something great happened and I got assigned to a principal center and worked with a fellow who was awesome. But that was a couple years into what I was doing as an administrator. As a principal, they just expect you to be Superman or Wonder Woman. This is your job. We hired you. You interviewed for it. Now you should be perfect at everything. Dun, da, da. And in today's world, especially in the state of Georgia, don't know about your state, there is a lot of stuff to know. They want you to be a instructional leader, and they want you to be a wonderful person at managing the building, as well as they want you to be a fantastic financial person. You've got to be totally involved in the community, not just with parents, but with the community at large, like the businesses and so forth. You got to figure out fundraising. You got to do different things. In my case, I went to change places and often ended up having to do things like figure out how to change prom and homecoming so that they worked well for kids, among other things. Because believe me, there were many instructional practices that had to change as well as business and finance practices that had to change. As a classroom teacher, I never had a coach. I had to figure it out myself. Here's your cart. Here's your schedule. Good luck. We'll see you at evaluation day. That shouldn't take place. You've got to have a coaching program. Now, I got to tell you, over the years, one of the things that has happened is that people have created contrived programs. They've been called mentoring, and they've tried to create any number of types of activities that where they people can go get trained, and then they get paid extra money to help the person needing the coach. And typically what happens, though, in those situations is that the person might meet with them once or twice, and then it just dies away. Sometimes when schools or systems mean well, like, for example, when I was assigned a mentor or I wouldn't call him a coach, as a principal, he took me out to lunch. That was very nice, and then that was it. And we said some nice things to each other once in a while when we saw each other at meetings. Wow, yeah, that was not very effective. How about as a teacher? You know, I've seen mentor programs created. I've seen them die. I've had to break them apart because a lot of times the people who come out for them, who go get the training so they can get paid, are not the people you want associating with your new teachers because they themselves have bad practices and you don't want them latching onto them. You know, one of my favorite authors is a man named Terrence Deal. Terrence Deal has written many books. One of my favorite by him is a book by him with Kent Peterson called Shaping School Culture. Now, we'll do that book another time. And I got to tell you, it's an awesome book. It'll give you great ideas of changing that culture in your school. One of my other favorite books by him, which is a little more recent book, has to do with the networks that exist in schools. Now, this type of network is not the type of network where you have, when we're talking about working on the internet or, working with, that infrastructure to make sure that we can have you know, have good programs or something like this, TV, streaming, audio, whatever. No, what he's talking about, by the way, is the title of his book is called Making Sense of Social Networks in Schools. And what he's talking about is too often the social networks that exist in a building, when you have that new staff member, what will happen is the very worst person in the building to find that new teacher will latch onto them and try and suck them in to their world. They'll try and, you know, maybe like, you know, be the Sith Lord who takes them into the dark side of the Force. Their world's bad, therefore you, new guy, your world's going to be bad. You don't want that to happen. And he talks about that because that typically happens, that if you don't have somebody set up to be a coach, then unofficial coaching is going to take place. And it's probably not with the person that you would choose, nor the relationship that you want to have happen. In the show notes, I'll put a link to this book so you can find it. There are many, many different articles out there about coaching. In the business world, they talk about executive coaching. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about for teachers or for principals or assistant principals. With new staff, when you read articles about coaching, there are typical types of repeated information, and they may call it different in the difference in whether it's the business world or whether it's the school world, but it's still the same. For example, Stephen Berglass in 2013 wrote an article for Harvard Business Review called Get the Most Out of Executive Coaching. I love this statement. This is from there. People claim they want to change or drop dysfunctional behaviors from their lives, but then fight like ninja warriors to defend them. Part of coaching is helping people develop good skills, helping them overcome bad practices, helping them figure out who they are. I love what he has to say there. And think about this. Whether you're a classroom teacher, whether you are a administrator, how could this, if a coach was working with you on this and recognizing this, what bad practices do you have that you need to get rid of? And are you fighting the ability to get rid of them? Dr. Relly Nadler was cited in a Fox Business article by Dr. Woody called So What is Executive Coaching? This was in November of 2010. And once again, don't worry, I'll put the links into the show notes. Coaching is about bringing more depth and focus to particular challenges. You know, the idea that the coach works with you to help you be able to focus on how you go about addressing those challenges. From the same article, Dr. Woody cites Dr. Marcia Reynolds, who's author of Wander Woman. That's Wander, W-A-N-D-E-R. She says, most people already have the answers to their problems. It's just that the problems are masking what they really need to solve. That's powerful. You know, let's go into the school world just a little bit. Here's some, because those are some business world people. Let's talk about school, because school, it's all over the place too. Elena Aguilar from July 13th, 2014, just the other day, published in Ed Week. Coaching is a partnership that only works if both parties are equally engaged. The stories that I told you about my life. When I was a teacher, I didn't have anybody per se in one school, but in another school, I was assigned somebody who didn't have time for me and really wasn't into it, just wanted to get paid. I've been assigned, when I was a principal moving into a new school, been assigned somebody. You know, it's one thing to have lunch with me, but if you don't work with me, if you don't really want to be there, then let's not force this situation, because it's not going to be, it's not going to have a positive impact on us, on me, if I'm the new staff member. Just the other day in Edutopia, July 16th, 2014, now this came from a July 30th, 2008 article by Shane Safir called Teaching How to Teach, Coaching Tips from a Former Principal. Remember, I'm going to put links to these in my show notes. She says, high-quality coaching lies somewhere near the crossroads of good teaching and educational therapy. And I like that, educational therapy. Because you got to be working with them on their teaching, but also be there for them to bounce when they're ready to pull their hair out and so forth, and help them figure out how to deal with all that. She also goes on to say, done well, coaching can help you sort through your pedagogical baggage, develop or hone new skills, and ultimately find your best teaching self. Oh, I love that. That is so nice. By the way, did you catch that? Pedagogical. She also went on to reflect that in her 6 years of teaching English and social studies before becoming a principal, she never really had a coach, just like what I was telling you. And I got to tell you something. You don't have to have modern sources for this, because people have been talking about needing coaches for a long, long time. I don't think this was that long ago, but this is. And I got to tell you, you can find the literature, whether they call it mentoring or coaching, you'll see some of the same types of references. One of my favorite articles is called The Coaching of Teaching by Bruce Joyce and Beverly Slower. And it's in an ASCD, it's an ASCD article, pages 4 through 10 from October, get this, October of 1982. And this is one of the big statements that they make. Good coaching involves practice and feedback, just like with athletes. And so in the article, they say, like athletes, teachers will put newly learned skills to use if they are coached. Oh my goodness. Yes. You know, if you're working with somebody and you have some new skill, they're going to help you work through it. You've got to practice and get feedback. Are you doing well at it? You're going to find out because I'm going to give you some feedback on how that performance went. If you're going to deliver a lecture, if you're going to have a lab go that day, if you've got some activity, if you've got group situations happening, whatever, if the coach gets to observe you as you enact your plan, they can also give you feedback. And that's how you get better at it, by doing and getting the feedback to improve, to adjust how you perform. There are many, many different articles out there, and I strongly encourage you to look at the ones that I have linked. And what you're going to see is the commonality that everyone needs a coach. Everyone needs a coach. It doesn't matter what position, how high you are up in the organization, what level of position you have. We all can use a coach, someone who's going to help us learn how to do what it is that we're expected to do. Coaching in schools is so, so very important. It can't be skipped. It can't be left to chance. And so often it is. With everything that is required of teachers and school-level administrators today, it is so, so necessary for them to have the ability to have someone assigned to them who will work with them. Not a contrived relationship, because that will not work. And it can't be an evaluator, because an evaluator always has that hammer or that big stick, which is, they're my evaluator. If I look bad in front of them, am I going to get a bad evaluation? So it really has to be somebody who wants to help somebody become better at their new position. And they really have to want to help, because if they don't, the relationship will not build, it will stumble, and then it will fail. And ultimately, the teacher will just be thrown to the wolves, thrown in the ocean, and learning how to swim on their own. So I want to reflect on this again and just simply say that coaching with school positions and school system level positions, school building positions, from teacher to assistant principal and principal and on up, require coaches. And if the number one reason why we need coaching in these positions is to support the new staff as they transition to the new position, and by the way, transition to the new position can be multiple years, because we grow in what we do, and having that coach with us for longer is important. Well, if the number one reason is supporting new staff as they transition to a new position, then the coach needs to work within five categories. Number one, sharing their experiences, not to solve the problems, but sharing their experiences from successes and failures, giving those opportunities. Not to say, this is how I did it and this is the way you should do it. No, but they have that, you know, I remember a kid's show from a few years ago, Barney, the purple dinosaurs. Many of you know that. You probably watched it a lot. Hey, boys and girls. Let's learn about please and thank you. They are the... Oh, sorry. On a Barney episode, they introduced us to the Barney bag. The Barney bag were all the little tricks of the trade that are inside that bag to help the kids. Well, if you have an experienced coach, an experienced educator working with the principal, assistant principal, teacher, guess what? They have Barney bags. They may not go around singing all kinds of songs, but they have Barney bags. They have their bag of tricks. They have all those experiences where they succeeded and failed, where they can help somebody in reflecting on those successes and failures. The coach also needs to be able to connect them with the culture of the organization. Everything from learning how to figure out how you make copies, to where you park, to, you know, how you go to lunch, how you take the kids to lunch, what happens at grading time, and what's expected, and how do you, whatever the high school or the elementary school or middle school's name is, you know, this is the Pressfield School of the Arts, and this is the way we do things. Or this is Pressfield Elementary School, and here we live the following. You know, they have to be taught that. They have to be taught that. They have to be taught what they're expected to do. Have you ever run into a situation in the business world where, you know, because the business world likes to tell us what to, you know, how we should do things? Well, it's funny when you run into their prime examples and they don't do it right. For example, if you've ever been in a Starbucks and they really don't take time to serve you, oh, that goes totally against their creed. Ask them to relook at the inside of their apron, because the inside of that apron, that smock that they wear, has the vision for Starbucks. Well, I've been in a Starbucks where they sure weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing when it came to helping the customer have a great experience. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been in Starbucks where it works like clockwork. If you spill your drink, they replace it. They don't even say, oh, what do you want me to do? Oh, here, let me help you with that. I got it. What, you don't like that drink? I'll help you figure it out. I'll get you a new one. Let's try something different. How about Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A is always held up there as the model of everything, how it's supposed to work. Well, as a principal, I've worked with many Chick-fil-A's, and there are so many of them that are so focused on the community. I've read the Chick-fil-A books. I've read Truett Cathy's words, and I know what he expects of those different operators. Well, what's interesting with the owner-operators is that many of them are very different. But they're expected to behave a certain way, especially towards schools. They're supposed to help the schools and the community. And it's funny because in my time, I've run into so many, you know, probably in percentage, it would come out not even 1%, a very small percentage that don't understand that. But it's, you know, it does exist. And it seems to me that in both those situations I'm talking about, those owner-operators needed some sort of coach to remind them of what the creed was of their companies. Wow. The coach is not Dr. Phil. They're not going to ask you to lie on the couch and cry your eyes out with me, whatever. Let's all get a good cry. That's not what this is about. What it is about is helping them work through those moments, helping them figure out that they know the answers, helping them ask the right questions to get them to a level of understanding to know that, this is the direction I need to go. And I do look forward to tomorrow. The coach also will help push the new staff member on good practices, whether it's instructional practices, classroom management, whether it's working within departments, whether it's as an administrator, you know, how do you work as a team in the building? How do you work with all the staff that you have? How do you work with the system level? A coach will help with the good practices, the developing of the good practices. And finally, right along with good practices are new skills. The coach will help the new staff member develop those new skills that are necessary. For example, if we have an incredible data system that we have to know how to operate, then they'll get them the training so that they can sit down and use that data system. You know, I'll never forget when I was in a school where, now this dates me a little bit, but when we opened up, we had Mac Classics. Ooh, those were a long time ago, and they had little bitty small screens. You ever seen those? Not everybody had those either. But the system went out and got tax money, raised the money specifically to replace all the computers in multiple schools in that system, so we all had the same ones. Well, the problem was that before those computers came, we were trained in all kinds of really cool software. When you get your computers, if you had your computers, you could do this. I'll never forget it. One of them was a morphing program where you could take a picture and change it into this and change it into that. And like, ooh, cool, but we don't have a computer. I can't practice. Whatever the skill is, the coach will help you practice. So once again, just kind of summarizing, and I challenge you, if you are a teacher and you're in a school where there is not one, then reach out to somebody and say, hey, you know, could I borrow you to help me? Believe me, you'll flatter people. Choose wisely, but you'll flatter people and they'll want to help because there are people in your building that want to help. If there is a real program in your building, then use it. Participate in it. Don't push it away because it's very, very helpful. As a building level administrator, once again, the same advice. If you have a coaching situation or a coaching model, a coaching program in your system, then don't push it away. Don't fight it. Participate in it. It'll help you develop the skills that you need. If there's not one, then seek out those that you trust and establish your own and ask. Don't just, you know, ask them questions secretly at the, you know, at lunch or something like this and say, hey, can I talk to you for just a minute? Well, that's fine, but then, you know, if that works for a little bit, go to them and say, you know, there is a reason why I'm asking this. I believe that you could help me. Could we figure out something where maybe we just chit-chat online once in a while or you know, maybe meet for coffee or, a Coke at the McDonald's or something? Let me tell you something. You ask somebody, most people who have the skills want to help and be helpful. And it's pretty hard to say no to somebody who's reached out to you and sees you as a role model. I wish you the best. Most of all, if you are a new staff member going into a new building and they don't have one of these, then take your time, look at who's around you, choose wisely, and help start your own coaching program. If you are in a system or you are in the position to create one, like you're a building principal, create a coaching program for your staff. Don't contrive it, though. Don't force it. Don't make people do things. You know, don't say, you got to be a coach. I got to have one from each department. Who's going to be it? That won't work. It'll fail. You have to look at your staff and see who can do it, who can organize it, who can help make sure that it takes place, who will take ownership to be that wonderful coach, to help that new staff member become part of your organization, to become that successful teacher, that successful administrator for the kids in your building. Think about it. I can't thank you enough for listening today. I hope this was helpful, and I wish you the very best. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listening. I hope you'll keep coming back. Remind your friends, and I wish that you would go to Stitcher or you would go to iTunes, because there we are. We're on both of them. You can find us under Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12. And give us a rating, because that's how you get found in podcast world, podcast land. The more ratings you have, the better the ratings, the more you skyrocket into the attention of other people. And we'd love to have you do that for us. So once again, thanks for listening. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Take care.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.com. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store or at Stitcher.com. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.